Hello. Absolutely ages ago, the BBC put together a Webwise website and a whole mass of material and support to help people find their way around the internet, help beginners find their feet online. Webwise is still up and running today, www.bbc.co.uk/webwise, and it's still doing really useful stuff. But I was lucky enough to be part of the launch, and amongst a whole mass of bits and pieces, I was asked into the BBC Two radio studio to be part of the Steve Wright show. Steve Wright, if you don't know his show, runs the most extraordinarily enjoyable show. I'm a huge fan. It bustles, it amuses, it's got some good reflective pieces, and I was just absolutely delighted to be invited in. The interview, the chat we had together, went extraordinarily well. And in between the recorded bits, Steve, of course, turned out to be bright as a button and passionately interested in the future of radio and where all this was going. We enjoyed each other's company. I enjoyed the whole experience wonderfully. And at the end, I just asked Steve if I might go to park some of the interview on our website to, to provoke more and further debate there. He was delighted. No music, of course, obviously. Well, here we are, that was the last century, and here we are in 2005, finally, I've got round to finding a place to park that broadcast. The place to park it is in this podcast arena, and is my first podcast, in fact. Most of the others are spontaneous and from the hip, but I just thought it nice to start with one from way back when, because lots of things that were said there, lots of the questions. Steve was so smart and sensible and intelligent, he asked exactly the right questions to draw out the very best of the things that needed to be said. So the whole interview, I think, just comes along and is a great starting point. I hope you enjoy it enormously. I enjoyed making it. I've enjoyed listening to it again. I hope Steve's permission still holds good half a decade on. Enjoy.
Now, I've got a real-life professor here in the studio.
Really?
A real-life professor. What do you think?
What kind of professor?
He doesn't look like a professor, does he?
He doesn't actually. He's even got glasses on.
This is no regular professor. This is like a special professor. You want me to tell you about him?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to tell you about him. Professor Stephen Heppel, and he spoke at the launch of BBC Webwise. Now, BBC Webwise is a campaign to give listeners and viewers the confidence to use computers, to use the web, and also advise the governors. So, just be nice. This is a guy that advises BBC governors, but not only that, advises the government and is involved in campaigns to get computers into schools and to get school kids to use the internet.
So he's a bit of an internet guru.
Give him a round of applause. Yeah. Make him feel welcome. Now we completely and utterly embarrassed him.
I still feel pleased to be here. I'm glad I didn't wear my tweed jacket now.
Absolutely. Or your half glasses.
Yeah, or the monocle and the leather elbow patches.
Now, you're a director of Ultra Lab at Anglia University and the UK's leading online education guru. I know that you advise the government on computer usage in schools, for example, yeah?
Absolutely. In fact, I've just come from advising the New Zealand government on the way in.
Yeah, obviously.
Over the door at Ultralab, it says learning, technology and research, and that's what we do. We've got everything from little intelligent toys scampering around the floor under your feet to dirty great big projects. We're running that virtual college of head teachers that's got every British head teacher online this year. 28,000 head teachers. I struggle for a collective now, but they're cool people.
Because you are the guy charged with coming up with the government's new technology policy for schools, really, aren't you?
I was part of Dennis Stevenson's group originally before the election that wrote the policy, and we're ticking off the recommendations on there one by one.
Okay, now every child needs a laptop, according to you.
Every child needs good access to the internet, whether they've got their own laptop or whether they've got access to a computer, I don't mind very much, but they need access to the internet, just like they need books and pencils and crayons and javelins.
And what's been the response over the past year or two in schools? It's my experience that kids, love messing around the computers anyway.
They do. They do some stunning stuff, and I think everybody that...
they know more than you.
They're all potential professors. I think my job's up, I'm only a chapter ahead,
But it's true, though, isn't it?
They know an awful lot, but I think the real tough thing for us is to decide whether we can be ambitious enough for them. They've been using computers for 20 years as they go into the exam room. We kind of frisk them at the door to make sure they're not carrying one. So there's a big issue, I think, about whether children are allowed to be as imaginative with a computer in the exam room as we know they can be at home.
I was saying on the air the other day, how is it that we still run exams using paper?
It's nonsense. I mean, imagine if you turned up for your driving test, there was a horse standing by the curb, You'd say, I've come to learn to drive. They said, don't you start with we've always used the horse, you know. It's nonsense, absolute nonsense. Of course, we need to look very hard at the cool things that kids can do with exams, and of course that they'll need to do in the world of work, and we need to start making changes.
Can you see a day when we will have a computer terminal in front of us and we're sitting in the exam, not with a piece of paper in front of us?
I can see that day coming rapidly. We've got open book exams now, so it's only one step further to say you've got to have internet and be able to do some proper research. And it's not just a case of going off and finding the stuff. You've got to make a judgment about whether what you found is any good or not. You know, find me three things on Eskimos, easy peasy. Find me three things on Eskimos and tell me which one you picked and why you rejected the other two.
Right.
That's a tough thing.
Absolutely. Interesting that a professor comes here and uses the word cool. I like the whole idea of that.
That's because I'm not wearing the jacket. You know?
Yeah, you're pretty damn cool yourself. It's very difficult, isn't it, to make, no matter what government you have in power, to make them sound cool. If kids think that the government wants you to do it, they're less likely to go for it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And one of the sad things, I think, is that kids do some really clever things when they're playing their games. You know, people say, ooh, look how fast their little eyes and hands are going, as though there was nothing happening in their heads, you know, as though they're in some sort of digital palsy. I mean, they're not. They're doing really clever problem solving. The problem is we don't recognize that enough, and we don't allow them to use those skills in the classroom. It's very hard for politicians, though. They just would like to say very simply, look, we spent more money and things are better. But I think we all know that you can't do that. What you can say is we spent more money and things are different. Mm. And that's a much harder story for a politician to get elected on, of course.
We've brought Miles Mendoza in today. I know you know Miles, so
website star.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, this maybe isn't the question that you'd expect me to ask, but I guess an accusation that is going to get leveled if you do start putting computers into the exam room, isn't that going to have an implication for basic literacy? The more you migrate towards computers and away from paper?
Well, I think being able to read and write is just a tiny corner of literacy. I mean, being able to watch television intelligently and to make your own videos and to do good stuff with a website is part of being literate as well. You know, children all over the world are telling people about the research and the work that they're doing, and they use a whole lot of tools to do it, not just a pen and paper. And I think they've got an entitlement to be able to use all those tools in their broadest definition of literacy. I mean, I think to take one away, it would be just as unfair if they came into the exam and he said, you're not allowed to write, you've got to speak. You know, that would be unfair too. But then why shouldn't they be able to speak and type and write and research and do artwork and use video? Those are the basic tools of communication.
How do you counter, though, the accusation, and we've spoken about this many times on the programme in the past, that kids shouldn't be sat behind a computer for hours on end, that they do have to go out and play football or get fresh air or go out and learn things in the open? Because there is a danger, is there not, that kids will spend too much time behind the computer.
And also the same applies for older people, because they need to go off and eat boiled sweets.
Yeah, watch snooker. It's all out there.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
I think you counteract that by in exactly the way that you wouldn't want them to sit and stare at a flipping crayon all day, and you want them to pick it up, you want them to do creative things with it, and you want them to do other things as well.
But, sure, but there's a lot more involved in the internet to engage them for long hours at a time, isn't there?
I think there is, but there's an awful lot of collaboration going on, and I think the thought that a kid sitting at a computer is a sad, lonely geek was maybe a 1980s thing, but a kid sitting at a computer now is part of a vibrant community of learners all around the world, probably doing their learning with some chap down a volcano in Hawaii who's got really interesting things to say about how fast lava goes and how quick you can run, you know. So it's a world learning environment.
Let me take a break and we'll come back and talk about BBC Webwise and some other stuff with Professor Stephen Heppel. We'll be right back on Steve Rackley Afternoon. And now we're back here with Professor Stephen Heppel. We're talking about BBC Webwise. We're talking about computers in schools. We're talking about old guys like myself. In fact, I was saying the other day that my brother and I have sent my dad off to a computer course because he'll be listening to this. You know, I don't want to embarrass him. But it's fantastic, and he's really taken
well,
to
it. Well, in the lab, we ran some high tea with IT days. You had to be a pensioner to get in.
Is that right?
And they were absolutely brilliant. You know, you've got sort of tea and muffins and internet, and it was just a delight. They were so smart and intelligent with it. The only thing, they didn't have the right words. So if anybody came in who was a bit techie, everybody was a bit afraid to, because they didn't have quite the right language to describe the... you know, the window or the bin in the corner. But it didn't matter in terms of sheer brain power. Absolutely terrific.
I was going to say, listen to you two talking as if old people are thick or something. Your dad's not thick, is he?
I wasn't. I'm old. What are you talking about?
Not
I'm
as old as your dad, though.
No, but traditionally, 5 to 10 years ago...
Yeah, they've been given a hard time in terms of the press. It's the kind of silver surfers were never going to make it. Just the opposite. They're the people with the free time. And they're sufficiently on top of their knowledge that they've got a bit of space to focus on. Wow, look at the things we can do.
I mean, you talk about interactive computers and interacting with your computer. It isn't really an interactive experience, though, is it?
No, interact is a rotten word. I mean, my microwave is interactive. You know, you press buttons and make a choice. What I'm looking for, what I'm pushing for, is participative. You know, we've got children all over Britain go going out interviewing the oldest person they can find about their earliest memory and then typing it up, putting it on the internet. That's participating. Interacting is just, you know, one step on from being a cyber couch potato. That's not good enough.
And what about protecting people, not just in terms of, you know, pornography, which is a very, very well-known case as far as the internet is concerned, but things like credit card fraud? People still don't feel 100% safe.
No, I think you're right, but I think a lot of this is because people feel the technology somehow turns off their common sense. You know, they think, like, if I'm a parent, you know, my kids go to a bus stop and somebody says, I'm a video producer, come back to me and we'll shoot some video, you know, my kids know what to say and they know when to panic, you know. Yeah. But if somebody says that online, because it's technology, my advice doesn't work. Of course your advice still works. You know, common sense works absolutely everywhere. That's the thing people have got to get hold of.
I know you've been advising the government. Tony Blair, of course, a bit of a plank when it comes to computers, isn't he?
Just the opposite. Actually, keen as mustard. He's got a good website and he makes
keen,
weekly...
but he doesn't know anything.
Oh, well, everybody's keen and doesn't know anything. That's how I got to be a professor, you know.
You are involved in a project called NotSchool.net.
Oh, NotSchool.net. That's really exciting. It's a virtual school for all the children who are excluded from school. You know, they're bright, smart, alert, but somehow school just didn't fit them, you know, and then teenage mums, their kids who are sick, ill, phobics. Sometimes they just could not get on with being sat in a classroom with 30 other people born between two Septembers, you know, and typically they want to learn, but they just don't want to go to school to do it. So we've set up a virtual school, and it's really interesting to see how quickly the children are progressing. They really are getting on fast.
Oh, that's great. That's at notschool.net.
Notschool.net, yeah, www.notschool.net.
Fantastic. Now, this BBC Webwise campaign that Terry's leading, is it working out as you expected?
It's good, it's necessary. I think this is a very wired nation. We need a lot of help with all that. This is the nation that, you know, the Radio Times once used to publish programs. People used to type them in on their spectrums or whatever. We're a very wired nation. And I don't mind all this stuff that this was invented in Silicon Valley. Of course it wasn't. We're best at this.
Okay, listen. You're good. You can come back.
Yeah.
Prof, you're back next time, all right? listen.
I'll find the jacket.
Yeah, you can. And the half glasses next time.
Okay.
And you need to speak like that. Do you smoke a pipe on the quiet?
Very quietly.
Yeah. Listen out for Webwise on Radio 2 today and tomorrow. Professor Stephen Heppel was with us. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you.